Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. It is Ben in the host seat for the final time this week. Probably not the final time in the summer. I'll probably have a couple more as Trevor gets back from vacation. But if you missed it, Trevor is out enjoying the Women's World Cup. I believe the quarterfinal game is coming up, and so that's very exciting for them. They're having a very good time out there. Jordan Reed, NFL Draft Analyst for the Draft Network, very kind to step into his stead for me for the course of Offensive Line Week. Jordan, you've officially made it to Fan Friday. I know you must have terrible butterflies. This is a high-stress situation. A lot is riding on this. But did you enjoy your week sitting in my chair, the co-host chair for Locked On NFL Draft?
I did, man. And I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I've been one for a very long time now. So just being on here is just a blessing. It's a pleasure. And I can't thank you guys enough for inviting me on.
Oh, wow. Jordan being super serious on a Fan Friday. Stop down. That's unacceptable. No, I appreciate it, man. It was a really good time. Before we get into Fan Friday questions, of course, it's the top five. As we've talked about 14 offensive linemen across the course of the week. We now have to break down who our top five are. Of course, we got the questions. I don't know if you got them. I definitely got them. Where was Tristan Wirfs? Where was Andrew Thomas? If they're an underclassman and there's no significant upperclassman on that offensive line, it's tough for me to sneak those players in because I don't want to be watching Andrew Thomas, you know, Georgia left tackle. A lot of people really like him. I don't want to be watching Tristan Wirfs and Alaric Jackson, good tackles for Iowa. And then all of a sudden they don't come out. And we did a lot of work that we didn't need to do in a time where you and I both have a lot going on. And so we didn't get to some of those underclassmen. Those I'm sure are going to be top guys if and when we get to them when they declare. But the name of the game in the summer is getting to know the seniors. It's getting to know the upperclassmen. And so of the 14 we watched, top five, this won't be divided up by offensive tackle and interior guys. It's just top five players on the offensive line. Jordan, it goes back and forth. You start with your number five and you tell me why he made the list.
See, I already messed up because I thought our top five was just top five guys we watched totally this summer.
Oh, word?
Yes. So,
okay. It's fine. Give me your top five guys right now that you've watched this summer. Give me your top five guys
this summer. Just go through all five right now?
Hit them.
Okay, so five, I have Jack Driscoll, our new favorite from Auburn. He's number five for me. Four is Tristan Wirfs from Iowa. Three, Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma. I'm a huge fan of him. Two is Andrew Thomas, the left tackle from Georgia. And one is Tyler Biadasz, the center from Wisconsin.
So definitely your top 1-2 would be Biadasz and then Driscoll. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, of the guys we did on the podcast. That's my one and my three. Trey Adams made it to number two for me. So I liked Adams a little bit better than I liked Driscoll off the film. But I agree in the sense that I don't know if anybody else is at this stage right now in their summer watching and in their evaluations. We don't really know where NFL personnel departments are right now because so many of them are off on vacation. You don't know who's working on what. But we both have Jack Driscoll as a top five upperclassman offensive lineman coming into the season. Only 2 years ago, he was a UMass tackle graduating.
So it's Minuteman, baby.
Yeah, man, the Minuteman. So it's a big come up for Driscoll. And this is an impressive thing for him. I'll run through the rest of my top five, and you can let me know what you think, who I got in, who I got out. I will say Scott France, on whom we disagreed, made it to six. He did not make it inside of the top five. But my number one was also Tyler Biadasz. I think that right now he's the best offensive lineman that we've got in this class. I can't say I've watched the underclassmen, but he's talented. Two was Trey Adams for me. Three, Jack Driscoll. Four was Nick Harris, the center out of Washington. And five, Jack Hansen, the center out of Oregon. So that ended up being my top five from the guys we watched. Any thoughts on those?
I like it. I actually had them flip-flopped. I had it Hansen, and I forget who you had it. Nick Harris. I had those two flip-flops. So our top five was definitely similar, just pillowing off some guys that we've already reviewed this week. But all those guys we were huge fans of, and the one guy we did disagree on was the Kansas State guy, so Scott France. So I'm really impressed with what you have done this week, and we've had a lot of similar ideas as far as guys we've agreed on and one that we did disagree on. But overall, our top fives are very similar. And I think what's really interesting is what was going to happen with this Oregon crop as far as Shane Lemieux and Calvin Throckmorton and Brady Iola. We'll see who does end up emerging out of those just because we like Hansen the most right now. But maybe one of those guys could step up. And even a guy like a Dallas Warmack, we'll see if he does end up throwing his name in the hat as far as, you know, being a starter and then contributing this year as well. It's going to be interesting to see exactly who does rise to the crop or rise to the top out of that group.
Yeah, no. And it is, at this time last year, I had Jake Hansen above Nick Harris. And now after a year film, I've flipped. So maybe I'm just looking for new things. I feel like I've known these guys pretty well now for a couple of seasons. But the Pac-12, baby, which nobody on this podcast has particular leanings toward the Pac-12. Neither one of us is particularly a strong Pac-12 fan. That wouldn't be true. But Pac-12 is the spot for center play this year, if you're asking me. So, and like you said, the Oregon offensive line as well. And we talked about this on Monday, Joe Moore Award watch list. But that's the top fives for offensive line. Glad that we got to rank some of the guys we didn't talk about, even though we weren't supposed to. So that was nice. Are you ready for Fan Friday? Are you prepared for this? I'm about to throw you into the deep end.
I am. I believe I'm prepared anyway.
You understand. usually I'm the one sitting in your seat. Trevor just chooses the question, and I've got to be ready, right? It's just like whatever the answer is. And so I'm going to come at you from the top rope, with the really weird questions we always get, which is about things fighting that make no sense. So Sam Robinson asks, who would win in a fight, a trillion lions or the sun?
Yeah, this one was really weird. I have no idea like how he actually thought of this, but I mean, obviously it's the sun because
right, it is.
It's hot. Like nobody's going to be able to defeat the sun. No matter right. how the closer you get to it, the worse it's going to get for you. No matter if it's a billion, right. trillion or how many ever lions it is.
That's what I say the number of lions doesn't really matter. You're still going to get evaporated. You understand last week we got asked who would you rather fight? It was like 15 Ben-sized ducks or one duck-sized Ben, and it was confusing, and like the syntax was wrong. And just like every week we get one of these questions. It might be Sam every time, I don't know, of just really ridiculous matchups that there's no good way to answer these. We also get these questions, which are like bench start sit questions, which are good. So this is from at every Trevor ever, who Trevor Joseph is a subscriber on the Twitch stream, actually. He says, question for the rubber band man. No idea if that's me or you. Start bench it's, cut.
Oh, okay. So let me tell that story.
Okay, hit it.
Because he must have looked up my bio from my playing days or something. So that was my nickname. And the story behind it is that, so what happened was I used to play AAU basketball when I was growing up. And when I was 10 years old, I played point guard.
Nice.
And they didn't allow you to wear rubber bands in games during that time. So you either had to just toss it on the bench or just toss it to the side or just put it in your sock. So I put it in my sock, and I had, like, my career high that game. I had, like, 30 points or something like that. So every game for the rest of my career, even when I played football, I had a rubber band in my sock. That was, like, my superstition. So that became my nickname, the rubber band.
Why would you have a rubber band on in the first place?
So back then, this is when rubber bands were, like, really becoming hot, like the Livestrong rubber bands. I'm not sure if you remember
those.
Oh,
okay. Where everything like the bracelets. I got you.
Yeah. That's when they were, like, first becoming hot. It started with Lance Armstrong with the Livestrong, and then they actually had messages engraved in them. And I used to wear, like, 5 or 6 of them at a time just because, for whatever reason, I had a rubber band fetish. I just loved it back then. But I stuffed one in my sock, and I just tossed the rest of them to the side, and I had a career game, and I was like, man, maybe I need to do this for the rest of my career. So the name Jordan stuck with me ever since then.
Rubber band man. That's I take that. That's a cool nickname. I like that a lot. All right, so this is for you then. Start, bench, cut, hot wings, tacos, pizza.
This is really tough because these are actually my 3 favorite foods, which is crazy. Oh, wow. So,
okay, Trevor really did his research thing. So he knew your nickname from basketball and also his favorite food. So Trevor knows more about Jordan than probably we're comfortable with.
So it was start, cut, and what else?
Start, bench, and cut. So like start, I guess bench. That's just like rank 1, 2, 3, but I don't know.
So start is gonna be tacos. Like I have to have tacos once a week for whatever
I'm making
reason.
Tacos like, tonight.
You're a smart man. Like tacos are amazing. Hard shell or soft shell?
Soft shell, turkey.
Absolutely. Absolutely smart man. Soft shell tacos are the best. Cut, I would go with pizza, even though that is really hard for me because I absolutely love pizza. And then bench, I would have to go with hot wings, even though I would bring them off of the bench very quickly. I'm like a huge hot wing lover.
Here's my thing. I feel as if you can get similar food flavors, levels, delivery, whatever, in tacos in terms of, like, burritos and fajitas, while, like, hot wings and pizza are more, like, distinct. So I feel like if I'm cutting tacos and then just getting burritos, like, I'm just eating one big taco instead of 3 small tacos. So I feel as if from a keeping the food palate wide perspective, tacos would be the cut, even though I hear you. Tacos are delicious.
Yeah, I'm going to fight for tacos no matter what. Like
it is true. You're not getting like the good street taco sort of stuff because nobody's right. like put mahi mahi in a burrito.
Right.
Yeah. All right. This is also from Trevor Joseph, but it's a really good question. I like it. If Steve McNair was the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, could they win a Super Bowl this year?
Oh, absolutely. Right.
Exactly. If like prime McNair right now in the league is what? Like, firstly, prime McNair was one of the top quarterbacks when he was playing. McNair was one of the first players I loved. I had an Eddie George autograph. You know, my grandfather got me because like when I was growing up, like the Titans were so good with McNair. But McNair in his prime was one of the top quarterbacks. In this league with how much more rollouts and mobile quarterbacks have been integrated, I think it was Matt Waldman who was talking about this. Like, McNair would be wild to watch, right? Yes. He'd be totally crazy. And so I think, number one, you start with McNair would be very, very good. Could the Vikings win a Super Bowl? Are you convinced that the Vikings roster is good enough with McNair that they would win a Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely, because he was much better than Pete Kirk Cousins. I think that's not even a debate, in my opinion. And unfortunately, Steve McNair is one of those guys that's probably going to get lost in history as we go further along from his career. And it's really already happened to this point. And it's really a shame that the Titans waited so long to retire his number. I'm not really sure why that took so long. And maybe this is the first time they've done like a Ring of Honor. I'm not really sure. I don't really keep up with the Titans like Ring of Honor or retired jerseys or anything like that. Because
how dare you, Jordan? Come on now. If you're not keeping up with the Titans Ring of Honor, are you really a football analyst?
Exactly. But I think like the one thing, the lasting memory from Steve McNair's legacy that I think gets forgotten too much, he finished third in the Heisman from Alcorn State. That like blows my mind. That a lot of people really don't really remember about him. That's something that we'll never see again. So he's one of my favorite players ever, honestly, and I loved watching him play. Yeah.
I was wondering, because I knew he was from your area, and obviously growing up, I knew you played quarterback, so I was wondering if you looked up to McNair.
Yeah, I love McNair.
Yeah. I will say, speaking of the Heisman, you know who the first ever Heisman Trophy winner was?
No, who was it?
It was a man named Jay Berwanger, and he played football at the University of Chicago. Shout out our only athletic achievement in the history of my entire alma mater, which I can officially say my diploma arrived yesterday. But, all right, next one. We had a question about the Vikings, and I'm going to find it, and it was about their wide receivers. Yes, Nick Stalock asks, what do you expect the Vikings depth chart at wide receiver to look like in week one? And this is a really cool question because everybody knows Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and I'm sure many people could mention the fact that Laquon Treadwell is also on the team because obviously famous first-round pick bust, but I think if you asked a lot of fans, hey, who's like the fourth, fifth wide receiver for the Vikings, nobody really has a good feel for that depth chart. It's a lot of late dart throws, and so Thielen, Diggs, they've got Laquon Treadwell, Chad Beebe, who's like a developmental guy that I think they've really liked for a while now. Like, I know he was getting some like buzz last year. Yeah. 2 7th-round draft picks in Dylan Mitchell and Ola B.C. Johnson. And then, you know, some UDFA guys who have had names like Jeff Bidet, who was Oklahoma for a year, Brandon Zylstra, these sort of guys. And so I'm going to ask, obviously, Thielen and Diggs, when there's three wide receivers out in the field, who do you anticipate coming out? And who kind of are you putting Diggs in the slot, you putting somebody else in the slot, and then fourth wide receiver, who do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, this is a really good question, and I think it's one of the biggest questions of the offseason for the Vikings. And I was really surprised that they weren't more aggressive about it, especially considering that it's fair to say, more than fair to say, in my opinion, that Laquon Treadwell, that experiment just hasn't gone as well as they thought it would plan, or as well as they thought that it would back in 2016 when they did draft him in the first round. But I think they have a bunch of unproven guys that they're hoping that emerges as that third wide receiver. And I think he's pretty much an afterthought at this point as the wide receiver 5 or even wide receiver 6, just because down the backstretch last year, there were some times where he was on the 53 and he didn't dress out as one of the 46. So we definitely could see that happen. And I think with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs commanding so much money, they probably didn't think they could bring in another, not high price guy, but middle of the road, and they're going to take their chances with some of these younger guys in hopes that they can develop one of them to be that third or fourth guy. But Chad Beebe is a guy that they have hyped up a lot, but I think Brandon Zylstra probably is going to be the third guy right away because he had the most experience last year, and he manned that third wide receiver spot a lot last year. He backed up Adam Thielen in the slot for the most part last year. So I think it's going to be, for right now, I would say Zylstra being the third guy and BB being the fourth guy. And we'll see what does end up happening with that fifth spot with Dillon Mitchell and Olabisi Johnson, and then them battling it out with Laquan Treadwell. And they've been hyping up all four of those guys for right now. But I think the edge for right now probably would go to Zylstra. Then I would lean towards BB and Laquan Treadwell really being a leg saver at this point, that a guy really just comes in for a couple plays just to spare Thielen or Diggs or if one of those other guys gets tired and another stretch. But they seem to be really excited about those four guys and them competing. And Laquan Treadwell is just really a name on the roster right now.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it makes no sense to trade Treadwell. I doubt you're going to be – or it makes no sense to cut him. I doubt you're going to be able to trade him. So, like, he's – I don't know. Like I mean, you either pay him 3.1 to stay on the roster or you cut him – you pay 2.5 to cut him. So you're not even saving money. Like, man, I don't know. Like, you don't want him gobbling up a roster spot if you really like some of your young guys. It's tricky. I liked Dillon Mitchell a lot coming out. He's good at everything except catching the football, which I acknowledge is a very important part of playing wide receiver. But – he's got a lot of good ancillary traits, which are interesting. So I liked him, and I liked Olabisi Johnson. Johnson, I think, is a really, really good depth guy because I think he's effective from all three alignments, and he's a polished guy. Like, a lot of what we see from Colorado State comes out. They develop technique for their wide receivers pretty, pretty well. Zylstra?
Yeah, Zylstra.
Zylstra. I did not know that they were this big on Zylstra because he obviously he's been part of their special teams units. He had two targets last year. Pro Football Reference. And so if he can bang out into an offensive role, that'll be sick. I think BB, I look at Mitchell and Johnson, I think they definitely want at least one of those guys to stick. Vikings had a weird draft, though. They made 5 picks in the first 5 rounds, then like 5 picks in the last 2. You know what I mean? They threw a ton of these 6th, 7th round darts. So we'll see who sticks. It also is worth noting the addition of Irv Smith, and they're not losing Kyle Rudolph. A lot of us thought that when they drafted Irv Smith, the tight end out of Bama, that Kyle Rudolph was then out, but Rudolph is now going to be retained by the Vikings. And so they might be a heavy 12 personnel team now. So then wide receiver 3 doesn't even matter as much anymore. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right. All right. All right. If you could, Dalton Miller, if you could go on any week long adventure on planet Earth, where would you go? Who all would you take and what would you do?
Ooh, a week long adventure anywhere. So I went on my honeymoon to Jamaica, and I absolutely fell in love with it. So I definitely would go back there. Everything was all-inclusive, and, I mean, you just ate whatever you want, drank whatever you want for a week. So I would take my wife, of course, and my mom and dad, and, of course, my two baby girls. That would be the people that I take and just enjoy life there.
Mm-hmm. I respect that. I got to figure out where I'm going on my honeymoon first. I don't have that information yet. But what you can do, Jordan, is you can go to New Zealand and you can walk around where Lord of the Rings was filmed. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's where I'm going. And I'm probably bringing my fiance. I'm definitely bringing my sister, my brother, probably bringing my pops and my father-in-law, if we're going to be honest. And we're all going to geek out in New Zealand for a week, walking the Lord of the Rings trail and basically probably just singing Hobbit songs the entire time. And I'm shamelessly going to enjoy that very much. That is a huge bucket list thing. I should take my childhood buddy as well, because we wanted to do this for years. But you a Lord of the Rings fan?
I've seen one of them. I wasn't a huge fan of it, honestly. I'm not even gonna see it.
I wasn't a huge fan of it.
I'm not a big movie guy, though, honestly.
What is that even like? How is that real?
I'm just not a huge movie guy. Like, I was growing up. And, I mean, you see all the classics and everything like that. But as far as, like, new things that are coming out, I'm just, like, I'm not a huge Marvel guy or anything like that. So, yeah.
Jordan, everybody says I'm allowed on this podcast? You understand, usually Fan Friday devolves into Marvel Day, where we get at least, like, 3 Marvel questions, and it takes up half of the show. But we did get a Desert Island question from Oliver Fuse. We got, if you could only bring 3 albums and 3 movies to a Desert Island, which would you bring? So let's start with movies. Do you have your 3?
Space Jam was like a classic to me. I grew up on that. Sandlot is another one. And those will probably be the 2. Those are like my 2 go-tos. Like, whenever I'm bored, I'll just pop in and just watch those 2. Albums. I'm a huge rap guy. So, any Young Jeezy album, Biggie. I'm a huge Biggie fan, and any Jay-Z album. Those are like my 3 go-tos.
All right. I'm not going to pretend to know the second half of that question. Or the second half of that. I definitely know my three movies. Number one is certainly going to be Remember the Titans. As an absolute classic. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Good choice.
It's sad. It's like, I wish I could just bring like the three Dark Knight movies and that would be that. But I really enjoyed the Dark Knight movies. And so probably Dark Knight just pure with Heath Ledger as the Joker. And then also then the Breakfast Club as well. Those would probably be my three. So I cover a lot of genres that way.
I have my third movie.
What's that?
Law-abiding citizen. I love
it's a great movie.
Love
right.
that movie.
I want to make sure I cover a lot of genres so I can really, because like, while I'm on the desert island, I need to cover my, you know, wide range of emotions I'll be experiencing while I'm stranded on the desert island. And then three albums, I'm an alternative guy. And so I'm probably bringing like an awesome wave from Alt J. I'm probably bringing, I don't know, maybe Foal's debut album, Antidotes. Yeah, I'm bringing albums that no one has ever heard of. Season 2, Episode 3 from Glass Animals. So, yeah, I'm sure that you also agree that these are great, great albums.
Of course, absolutely.
I appreciate it, Jordan. But speaking of pop culture, who is your favorite Ninja Turtle? There is a correct answer, by the way. I feel like you got a good one here.
So I went with Michelangelo.
Okay.
That is my guy, because he was the leader of the group, and I consider myself like the leader of the pack, and I mean, everything went through him, so Michelangelo definitely will be my guy. I already know what you're going to say. You're going to say Leonardo, aren't you?
No. Why would you thought I was going to say Leo? Who also, isn't Leo the leader of the pack?
I mean, I haven't seen Ninja Turtles in like 10 years, so.
Okay. Michelangelo is good. He's fun. Like, he's a good time.
Yeah.
Now, I'm big on Donatello, because Donatello is the geek of the squad, and I may or may not be able to empathize with that a little bit. That may or may not be a little familiar to me. Okay. I was asked, what will I do when Ben Simmons makes a three-point shot in a game? Nothing. I'll react just regularly against a regular old three-point shot, because we all know it's going to happen, and it's going to happen, and it'll... Jordan, I'm very concerned. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really concerned. I love Ben Simmons, but the preamble to NBA free agency, which... You an NBA fan?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Are you Charlotte? You're in the Charlotte area, yeah?
No, I'm a fan of players, so I'm a huge LeBron fan and Chris Paul fan. Those are like my two guys.
I respect it. Listen. Preamble to NBA free agency is not going well for Sixers fans thus far. And it's not like nothing actually matters. It's all blowing smoke. And I know that. And I tell myself that. But then multiple teams are around Jimmy Butler and just continues to concern me. The Sixers need shooters.
Yes.
Because Ben Simmons, Jordan, can't shoot basketball.
No, sir.
And it's highly concerning. Yeah. And I'm just very worried that they're gonna. I'm team run it back. I'm team dip into the cap, dip into the tax. Bring back Butler, bring back Harris. But it's gonna be a very stressful end of June. And just if they lose one of those two, and they're probably gonna lose Redick, so it's already gonna force the issue. But if they lose one of those two, it's really gonna force the issue of, okay, Ben Simmons needs to be able to hit a jumper, and I just do not have the mental wherewithal to deal with that discussion for the entire offseason and then the subsequent season. But I'll probably lose my mind with Simmons at three. It'll be a great moment on the internet. Let's be honest. It'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, you understand, like, he has hit, the last three he hit was, I think, like, his freshman year of high school or something like that. Like, literally, it's been.
He doesn't even know what hand to shoot with yet.
Jordan, if you go, Kyle has Sixers season tickets. We're both big Sixers fans. We went into a game against the Raptors, actually, in the regular season. Simmons warms up shooting threes, and he hits them at a decent click. It's so obnoxious.
Wow.
He shoots all over the floor. Hits threes, multiple threes in a row during warm-ups, and then doesn't attempt anything during the game, and it kills me.
That's so weird.
I'm worked up, but it's okay.
He's so talented, though, but I don't know. I was a big fan of him coming out, but I thought he eventually could develop a jumper. But it just hasn't happened to this point. And him not, it's weird. The Sixers are really weird. Like, the whole Markelle Fultz thing and his shooting dilemma when he was there, too.
I don't need to. I was not emotionally prepared to handle this conversation. I didn't know we were going to go here.
It's just really weird.
We just drafted a Washington guard, Matisse Thybulle, who I really like. Mm. But we traded up with the Celtics to go get him. Which is exactly what happened with Fultz. And let's not forget, I'm looking right now at my framed poster, which says out indefinitely in the Sixers font and the Sixers colors, because that's the name of every rookie that they've had for the past 5 years. It's just out indefinitely with some injury. And I'm just so, like, I love my Matisse Thybulle's film. He also doesn't have a great shot, but it's a different conversation. I'm just so worried that he's gonna get injured again. But this is for the Locked On NBA Draft, which we are not the co-hosts of, so they can bring us on if they ever need some help. Bill Rossetti, of the players or units you have studied so far this summer, which have been the most enjoyable or have given you the most excitement going into 2019 season or 2020 draft cycle? So this is basically a general question. Jordan, who has he hyped?
Oh, it's the Alabama offense. I mean, there's really no other answer. Honestly, they're loaded at receiver. They have some intriguing offensive linemen. Alex Leatherwood is a guy that I think could be a riser. He's a guard for Alabama, and I think he's a guy that definitely could be a riser as we get closer to April. Of course, everybody wants to see what Tua is going to do this year. I think there's some question marks in their backfield. Najee Harris, he's decent. Brian Robinson is a guy that definitely could have a bigger role this year that we could see be a riser in this strong running back class. So they have intriguing pieces all over the field. Everybody knows who Jerry Jeudy is at this point. Henry Ruggs is getting some social media hype. Devontae Smith is an intriguing option as well. So, and they have the young guy in Jaylen Waddle. So they have, I won't say four future first-round picks, but definitely four early-round picks. And, I mean, that offense is absolutely loaded. And I think if Tua stays healthy and shows that he can quiet some of those durability concerns and play bigger, and play better in bigger games, I should say, I think he's going to be the consensus quarterback one. And I mean, we're both not – I wouldn't say huge fans of Justin Herbert, but we're kind of skeptical of what he's shown to this point, and I think some of his hype is more off of potential as opposed to what he's put on film to this point. But right. I think, too, his film is – I don't want to say light years ahead. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. But as far as what he's shown to this point, I think he's well ahead of Herbert.
Now, okay, are your top three quarterbacks Tua, Herbert, and Fromm in that order?
I'm still doing a little bit of digging on Fromm, but okay. I'm not highly fired up about him, but I can see why a lot of people are going to be excited about him. And the best way I can compare it to is if you just want to hit it in the fairway, you want to draft Jake Fromm. But as far as his ceiling, I think Alex Smith is probably his ceiling. And he's a true facilitator. Like, he plays point guard for Georgia. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. And you have to keep a lot of weapons around him in order for him to succeed. But if you just want to hit a double, that, I mean, you can go ahead and draft Jake Fromm, and I think he's probably going to end up being a first-round selection just because teams are going to be in the need for a quarterback, and he's going to be the safe option in this draft. But if you want to hit a home run, I think you should draft Tua or potentially Justin Herbert.
I'm very interested to see what happens with Fromm's cycle, because Fromm might end up getting the, like, you know, facilitator, you know, like you talked about, point guard sort of, you know, winner, you know, risk-averse approach.
Yeah.
And then end up statistically just no more likely to win or not turn the ball over than, like, Tua and Herbert, who are significantly more explosive and who don't – well, they have, I think, more, like, mechanical issues, and maybe they have field reading issues, I think, are the same level of accuracy. You know, so it's really interesting. But it's going to be very fun to watch Fromm, while the two quarterbacks he's supplanted in Eason and Fields kind of preemptively are also both starting other places. Fromm has a lot of stock to lose. I'll put it that way. So I'm very curious to see what happens with him.
Yeah, and I did want to add this. Georgia has some serious issues at wide receiver. So we're really going to see exactly who Fromm is this year, just because that support cast is nowhere near, as far as on the perimeter, is nowhere near as strong as it was as a year ago.
How dare you disparage Demetrius Robertson like that? I'm very excited to see Robertson. I'm really excited.
Me too. Yeah, I am.
Because, boy, he did as a freshman at Cal. Woo! Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to be really fun to watch. And the reports are he's doing great at camp. Last couple questions here. I guess I should give my answer, actually. I'll just go a couple players who really surprised and excited me with what I got for them. Number one, I was very excited by Colin Johnson's film, The Wide Receiver Out of Texas. I found him surprising. I found him exciting. I think he's a really consummate, deep threat with the size and the explosiveness to win in that area. And he's a better route runner than you expect. Really good at tracking the football. Tight end-wise, Bryson Hopkins. I don't know if you've watched the Purdue kid, Jordan, but no, Trevor and I kind of threw him in. Yeah, he's the son of Brad Hopkins, the old Titans offensive tackle.
Okay.
And Trevor and I threw him in at the last second of our tight end watches. And boy, I mean, Trevor put him tight end one. I put him, I think, tight end three. Wow. Hopkins, he's real silky, right? He's a really, really good mover. And then quarterback-wise, I'm excited about Jordan Love, the Utah State kid. And I honestly, he had a bad season last season, but I'm still – I was not firmly on Brian Lewerke train for 2017 or for 2018. I'm not firmly on it for 2019, but there's really, really translatable traits there that not a lot of quarterbacks have. So I think those are some guys I'm pumped about for the offensive players that I've watched. What is the one food from JB74 you can eat the most of?
I mean, I think we have already established that at this point.
It's tacos. Was it tacos? Yeah, and see, the thing is, like, it's wings for me. Because I've never, like, I had a big wing-eating traditions with my buddies. We would get a ton of us together, and we would go out. And that was just like, you know, you intentionally wanted to feel bad the next morning. If you didn't, you did it wrong. And so that's, like, the only place I've really ever tested myself. You know what I mean? I'm not much of a you know, food guzzler, but wings is the answer for me.
When I was listening, you and Trevor had a 20 wing bet, correct?
Trevor doesn't think I can eat 20 wings, which is highly offensive.
Because we can establish this in like a month. Know that, right?
Oh yeah, it's true. At the summit. Yes. Oh yeah, dude.
Yes, we have to do it at the summit.
Oh, very interesting. I didn't think about that. Thank you for reminding me. I'll hit up Trevor and I'll see if the summit is an acceptable avenue for which to do this. We should sit down as a staff and just order 200 and rip through.
Absolutely.
This is a good time, but. Last one, and then we're out of here. Jordan Glass got it in at the last second, so we're going to take his last questions. He says, just rank your best color combos of NFL uniforms. He doesn't really give a number or anything like that. So I didn't give you prep on this one, Jordan, so it's got to be off the top of your head. Your favorite color combo for NFL jerseys. Don't have to give me a specific number of them, but who do you like the best? Who stands out?
So I'm kind of like an extra guy. I really love like eye-popping things. So Seahawks are definitely one. I love
glow sticks.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a huge fan of the color rush jerseys in general. I think Tampa has a really nice color rush jersey. The all red, I really like that. Miami Dolphins, I love their colors. I love the aqua and the orange. So Kyle Krabs, if you're listening, I love the Miami Dolphins uniform. So those probably would be my top three.
Yeah, I feel that. The Chargers immediately pop out to mind when they're in the powder
blue. Absolutely.
It's certainly one of the best color combos. The new Rams with the cobalt blue gold is a really, really strong aesthetic. I like that one a lot. When the Ravens go all blacks with purple details, boy, oh boy. Yeah. Like Ed Reed doesn't even need to be on that team. When they're in all black, I think Ed Reed's on the team. Like, it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, those like the Ray Lewis, Ed Reed jerseys, those are intense.
And then you're a bit of a homer, so you're going to like this. When the Eagles debuted the all black, with the green pants, I love that combination.
No, I feel that. And like when they wear the black tops, their record over the past couple of years is like 7-1 or something. It's like absurd. You know what I mean?
Oh,
they
wow.
just don't. And then the last one I would say being the classic one, the Green Bay Packers have a great look. They really, really do. I like the Packers.
They do.
Color scheme with the green and the gold. But Jordan, through the fire and the flames, congratulations, brother. You have made it to the end of the Fan Friday. I'm sure you need to take a nap and recover. I'm sure you need to refuel over this intense grilling session. But thank you again, man. I really appreciate you hopping on for the past week. You helped me out a lot. You helped Trevor get on vacation, so I'm sure he appreciates it as well. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. I had a lot of fun, and I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and it's a pleasure to be on here.
Yeah, if you do not follow Jordan, you fool, you ignoramus, you troglodyte. J Reed NFL is the username. Reed is R-E-I-D. He's the newest staff member over at TDN. So if you're not yet hooked up, make sure you get hooked up. Jordan is the man. I'm on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.